Welcome, 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 everybody, to the Her Story Circle podcast. This is Gertrude Mache here in beautiful Wellington, New Zealand. Welcome to the only podcast that is dedicated to bringing you inspirational stories from women from all over the world. Our stories range from business and entrepreneurship, health and wellness, family and relationships, creativity, spirituality, and social justice. All these phenomenal women have one thing in common. We believe that we can change the world one story at a time, one woman at a time, by honoring our stories and our personal experiences, and sharing our successes and failures, and transmuting our trials and tribulations in life into learnings and the stepping stones to our future success. Our vision is to inspire, uplift, empower, collaborate, and impart the knowledge that we have gained through our personal experiences.
I'm Michelle Sammons, and I'm coming from Memphis, Tennessee, in the United States.
Hello, everybody. Welcome back to the Her Story TV and the Her Story podcast. Welcome, welcome, welcome to our guest coming to us from the United States today. Thank you so much for becoming part of our tribe. Tell us your full name, where you're based, how old you are, and share your story with us today.
Yeah, I'd love to. I'm Michelle Sammons, and I'm coming from Memphis, Tennessee in the United States today. And I am the ripe old age of 47. So that is, that's the long and short of it. My story is an interesting one. It's also a winding one. So for anybody out there who has always kind of wondered what their calling is and has been trying to figure it out for much of their life, they will relate to my story because that's how mine was. I started a very kind of traditional mainstream path of marriage and family and career. And but I had these pullings, these callings, I like to say, that were luring me towards energy. And I had lots of questions about consciousness and God and source and the universe and my place in it and everybody else's place in it. And so all of those curiosities and wondering, it kind of set my path in motion. So it led me from, you know, I'm from Memphis. So going to a meditation class, you know, 12 years ago was a very woo-woo thing to do. You know, it was very out there. My friend and I would sneak into class to go meditate for an hour. So, but it started very simple like that with going to meditation classes and reading books that I was called to read. And then it kind of evolved from there where I was working with healers and they could see this calling in me before I could, that you know, some people would label it as like a shaman or a healer or a seeker. None of those labels really fit exactly what I am, but they were all much like touchstones with people kind of pointing me in the right direction, who could see the energy around me before I could see it for myself. And so that's kind of my path. And it was lots of resistance along the way because I live, you know, I have a family that's very mainstream and friends that are very mainstream, and to dive into things like source energy and spirit guides and all of that was really jumping off the high dive for me and exploring something that was not part of my culture. So it's being brave, but it's also a part of you that just you can't ignore either. And that's when you know you've stumbled upon your passion and your calling, is that it calls you so much and so pulls at your heart so much that you you can't ignore it any longer. And so what I've been called to do is what I have to say, help raise the vibe here. So, and that starts by raising each of our vibrations, you know, being positive, being happy, being joyful. All of that is something that is innate within all of us. And it's just tapping into that. It's not something you grow or have to develop or cultivate. It's there. It's just turning our attention and focus to it. and allowing it to kind of bubble up. And when we do that, it leads to all these beautiful things that we actually want to do as our work in the world. So
that is so fascinating. Well, the timing of your work is perfect, especially now with what's happening all over the world. You were fortunate in that at some point in your life, you got to that point of stillness so you could really tune into the truth. But right now, people have been forced to stay home. People have had to quit their jobs and really trying to figure out what's going on in the world. And then you show up with the ways, the guide on how to go back to self and to find that truth.
Yeah. So the global pandemic has really made all of us hibernate, right? And so it's forced us to get still. It's forced us to kind of, by necessity, you know, we have tuned out a lot of the rest of the world because we've been so isolated. And when some people do that, some people find that nourishing and just, they were eager for it. It was almost like they were craving this solitude and this silence. And then some people have had a really hard time with that, with being still and having to kind of sit with themselves and sit with their decisions that they've made in their life and decide if they really like where they are. What they're doing.
Yes.
And so there's both ends of the spectrum. And when we kind of have a crash course in it, and then you add on top of that, the whole globe is doing it all at once. So all of consciousness is going through the kind of almost the same experience, right? At least within, you know, a parameter. And so it adds to the energy. So for some folks, it's been such a nourishing time. And for some folks, it has rattled their cages because they are questioning their beliefs and their thoughts and their decisions that they've made. So it's been a really interesting time for just the whole globe at large.
It is a fascinating time. You know, it's a shared experience. And I mean, right across the globe, it's almost the same story. We've kind of been forced to prioritize what's really important in life. So you're right, the noise has been stripped off, all of the distractions that we normally have in life. And the stillness, the being forced to be still and to be alone for most of the time, is really where the magic unfolds if you are open to allowing that to come through. Now, you talk about purpose, finding your purpose. It's a difficult thing for most people. Some of us were fortunate to have found it at a very, very early age out of necessity and location. But for that person who is still striving, how do you find your purpose?
Yeah, so that's a great question. And what I want to start with is sometimes we think our purpose is almost assigned to us, you know, like this is what we should do, or this is what we're supposed to be doing. But what I have found through my spiritual path is that your purpose, your path is really about what do you want to do? Because we are creators within the creation, you know, we're the dreamers dreaming the dream, and we're waking up within the dream. So it's really taking back ownership and empowerment of yourself. And what do I want? What do you want? What wants to be created through me? So when someone does not know that because they've been listening to all of the outside noise, whether that's family or culture or friends or just, you know, the thoughts they thought they should be doing, and they haven't gotten in touch with that inner wisdom in a long time, the simplest, easiest way to start is to just ask yourself, what do I want right now? Because you've got to get used to asking yourself that question and then allowing an answer and following that answer. So, you know, it's going to sound silly to people out there, but start with the really easy things because you're getting in touch with what do I want? What do I want? What do I want? So start with what do I want for breakfast? What do I want to wear today? What will make me feel beautiful? What will make me feel glorious? What will make me feel nourished and loved and comfortable? You know, how do I want to spend this next hour? What energy do I want to be in? Does it want to be happy and exuberant or peace and calm and serenity? Like start asking yourself, you know, moment to moment, what do I want? What do I want? What do I want? Because our path is not laid out in front of us where we're supposed to follow it. Our path is created as we take a step, and then all these other possibilities pop up, and then we take another step, and all these other possibilities and potential pop up.
Yes.
So you ask yourself constantly, what do I want? What do I want? What brings me joy? What feels like love? Where do I want to spend my energy? If you just keep asking yourself that question over and over, it will lead to a joyful life, because minute by minute, all the in the meantimes, I like to say, will be joyful. So it's not even so much the destination that we're trying to get to.
No, it's the journey.
It's the experience, right?
Yes,
right.
If
we can just wrap our brains around that just a little bit and allow that to be enough, then you will look back one day and say, oh, look at this wonderful, beautiful, joyful, meaningful life I've had.
Yeah, and sometimes your signs or your promptings are very, very subtle. The signs and the promptings that kind of lead you to the destination.
Yeah, so I
what
like
was that for you.
Yeah. Well, I just, you're right. The signs are very subtle. And I like to say that, you know, the world is like a big casino with lights and bells and whistles and, you know, sounds going off. And your inner knowing is very subtle, like almost like a gentle breeze. Yeah. So it's going to kind of nudge you or encourage you in the right direction, but it's not going to push you. So it's going to wait for you to be ready. It's going to wait for you to notice it. So like my subtle nudges were, you know, it's funny, but a spirit will nudge me like two or three times before I'll be like, oh, wait, you want me to pay attention? Yeah, I'm a little stubborn, but I will, you know, I remember when the very first, this wasn't even a very subtle nudge, but a nudge that just rang my bells was I was sitting in a restaurant halfway around the world in South Africa, and this waiter came up to me, I mean, darted to me and said, you're a seeker. You're just like me. You're a seeker. I can see it. And you have been looking outside of yourself for the answers. Look within. You're supposed to look within. And disappeared. And I sat at this, restaurant, you know, halfway around the world. And I was like, what just happened? Like it was one of those things that startles you and wakes you up, as they say.
Yes.
And so I had little things like that all around, just all along my path that just kept pointing me in the right direction. Because for myself and what I found for a lot of my clients, what happens is that they, our own self-doubt is what gets in our way.
Mm-hmm.
You know, am I doing it right? Or is this what I really, you know, it's supposed to be doing? Like it's the doubt that holds us and gets us stuck. So
we get in our own way.
Oh yeah, we split our own energy, right? So we're going in one direction. We have all this flow, and then we start to doubt, and it starts to split off, and then we get scattered. So it's just bringing all that back so you can feel all your power, all of your energy in the moment.
And what I've found in life is that you can connect the dots, but only in retrospect. When you look back and you see those people who crossed your path, like the waiter, and you can actually see, oh, that was the starting point. And then it connects to the next event and the next one. It's really quite fascinating. What I've done with my life is I kind of feel into the promptings now. You know, I could meet a random stranger and they tell me to jump off a cliff. And it's a feeling I have around that person that says, this is the right way. And it gets stronger. Your intuition gets stronger with practice, right?
Of course. Yes. Yes. It's like building a muscle. So and what happens is a lot of us are just out of practice. And so it's just learning. It's the intuition is always there because it's communication from your inner self or your soul self. But what happens is we doubt it. We don't trust it. So it's learning to trust it again because it's always been there. And that intuition, I like how you say how you feel into it. So yes, because if you let your analytical, logical mind get a hold of it, it will tear it to shreds. That intuition is very much a feeling. And I like to think of it as the light is guiding my way, like what is filled with the light. And so when someone suggests something to you, like the waiter in the restaurant, like it was like ringing a bell in a silent room. It was that clear of a message. And so you, sometimes it will feel that clear. And sometimes you have to kind of sit with it and decide what feels like love, what feels like light, what feels like it has the most energy, and then let yourself go in that direction without having to reason it out. So that's the tricky part, is but let the reason come later when you can connect all the dots.
Yes. Yes. So. Our monkey brain does jump in there, sit on your shoulder and say, this is crazy. What are you doing? Why are you trusting this person?
Yes, it will.
I love it. I love it. So if you were to go back to your younger self, that younger woman who has just started off on this journey, based on what life has taught you and everything you've learned, what three nuggets of wisdom would you give that young woman right now?
Oh, that's a great question. Well, first, I would want her to know that she can't get it wrong. That you cannot get it wrong. And just how loved she is by the universe, by people that she doesn't even realize that love her. And, you know, and I'd also want her just to know that that she's safe. When we start on our journeys, a lot of times we start in a place where we don't feel safe. And that no matter what, you're always safe because you are eternal. And because without the body, you still exist. And that part of you that still exists in the ethers is with you right now. So that broader part of you is always full of well-being and love and guidance and safe. And you can trust and you can hone in on it. Because many seekers, when they start, they just don't know which way to go. They're just grasping it first. And so knowing that you're loved, knowing that you can't get it wrong, knowing that you're safe along your journey will just kind of shore you up during those places where you feel confused and lost.
Yes.
So that's what I would want her to know.
That's wonderful. Yeah. Now, if we take you into your future with the final question. So I believe that time is an illusion, that your past, your present exist in the same timeline. And a lot of times when I'm struggling with something and I'm trying to figure things out, I have conversations with the future me. So if you were to have a conversation with the future you at the age of 100, and she's now sitting on her rocking chair, relaxed, watching her grandchildren, her dogs, her cats, what would you say to this woman who has lived this amazing life based on what you're doing now?
Well done. Well done. You know what a ride. And I hope I just, at 100, look back and cherish it all, the good, the bad, the ups and downs, all the curvy parts. Yeah, it's just what a ride. And I'm with you. I believe time is an illusion, and it's more, you know, stacked on top of each other than spread out in past and future. So I am that 100-year-old woman now. And so now, you know, I can say, well done. Well done in the midst of it. Well done. And to the girl in the past, you know, when she started the journey, well done. It's all the same, right?
Yes. So, yes. Yeah. Absolutely wonderful. It's not every day I meet someone like you, Michelle. This is awesome. I sometimes think I'm a little bit crazy in how I think, but absolutely wonderful to have met you.
Nice to have met you. This has been a delight.
Thank you to everybody who tuned in today. Please tune in again tomorrow. I told you we have some phenomenal women who are stepping forward to share their wisdom, to share their stories, and we are changing one woman at a time, one story at a time. So this is Gertrude Mache in beautiful Wellington, New Zealand. Thank you again, Michelle, and have a fantastic day, everybody, wherever you are in the world.
Thanks.
Bye for now.
Bye.
If you would like to support the Her Story Circle so that we can curate more fascinating and intriguing stories around business and entrepreneurship, health and wellness, family and relationships, creativity, social justice, and spirituality, hit the donate button on the herstorycircle.com website, and this will help us reach more women and share these fascinating stories with you every single day. Thank you so much for your support. Thank you for listening in.
My name is Kelly Motley. I am 54 years old.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to the Her Story TV and the Her Story podcast. This is Gertrude Macha here in beautiful Wellington, New Zealand. And today I am graced with the presence of an absolute dynamo coming to us all the way from the United States. Welcome, welcome, welcome to our tribe. Tell everybody your full name, where you're based, how old you are, and share your story with us today.
Gertrude, I am so very grateful to be here with you today. My name is Kelly Motley. I am 54 years old. I live in Nashville, Tennessee, and I have recently written a book, and the book is titled The Fight for My Life, Boxing Through Chemo, and it's about how boxing became my remedy. It upheld me. It became my guide to make the right decisions, and it became something that I turned towards for a higher hope and higher power when I got my breast cancer diagnosis. When you are diagnosed with breast cancer or cancer, it's not going to be a comfortable road. And it's really important that your mind, your body, your spirit be sharp like a sword for the battle. And my book is really intended for people who have recently gotten a diagnosis, who are looking for hope, who might wake up at 3 a.m. and need to read something telling them that tomorrow is going to be okay. My book and each chapter in my book really details how the principles in the ring got me through a breast cancer diagnosis. My story, Gertrude, is really uncommon for a woman, middle-aged Southern American woman, PR professional, been married 25 years. I have 2 sons, and it started in a really uncommon place. And it started in a neighborhood where if some people might have stepped foot in this neighborhood, they might have talked about it as if they had come out of a miraculous experience alive. It was a neighborhood in the 80s and 90s where drug dealers set up shop on tops of hills and people rerouted around this neighborhood. And so this is where my story starts. It starts in a white concrete building that was formerly a factory. And it was converted into a boxing gym. And this is where I started to learn how to box, how to test my will and courage. And what's really amazing about everything is that the universe was really quietly giving me a gift of teaching me boxing, not with me really not knowing that I had this diagnosis. And so, you know, once I was diagnosed with cancer, all the principles in my boxing, my coaches became my corner. I really didn't communicate out to the world or anyone outside of my corner that I had breast cancer. And so I really applied a lot of the strategies and principles that I learned inside the ring to help me with the diagnosis and to help me climb out of cancer.
Oh, wow. What a fascinating story, Kelly. What was it about your need to be physically active, you know, at this particular moment in time? A lot of people will jump straight into fear. They're paralyzed. They can't move. For you, movement seems to have done something for you. Explain that to me.
Yeah, so that's a great question. So I have always been an active person. When I was young, I was a dancer, but boxing, and I can talk to you a little bit about how I got into boxing. That might be helpful.
Yes.
I started boxing in the summer of 2017. And what led me to boxing, I felt stuck in my life. not even stumbling or stumbling forward. I felt stuck. And I was going through some major issues with one of my clients. And it felt like every day was a bout. And I felt like I was in a match that outweighed me every single day. And I was getting incredible results from my client. And my calls with them, I would go from feeling shame to anger to fear. My house at the time, I live in a 1924 home in Nashville in a historic neighborhood. And it just felt like everything was breaking down in my home and we couldn't get anything fixed. There were a lot of things where I just felt stuck. I prayed, I meditated in the morning, and nothing seemed to make things work. My courage was shrinking. I come from a line of very strong, independent women who all worked. I grew up with a strong work ethic, and I just, my business, I just felt stuck. And one day after work, and I'm sure a lot of other women have experienced this, just to pull me from the brink, I decided to go to a boxer size, very popular boxer size gym up the road. And that day, I saw my client's face on the bag and just threw really angry punches at a bag and thought I was going to be really good at this boxing thing, with not understanding that that's the last thing you want to be when you box. You know, it's really about being calm and serene and opening, you know, emptying your mind and being very relaxed in your breathing. And so this was my first experience with boxing. And then it led me down a path. And my son at the time was, my youngest son was 13, and we boxed together. And that led us to doing Jeet Kune Do, which is a Bruce Lee style fighting. And to get better with this Jeet Kune Do fighting with my son, which I held on to like my life depended on it. It was just a really wonderful thing for me to do with my son. I started boxing very seriously. And I started boxing with a trainer who was training himself to become the next world champion of Ghana. And his name is Sena Agbeko. And Sena and I trained together 3 mornings a week. And we had the Ghana flag above us on Mary Street, on a dead-end street in this neighborhood, which I've described to you. And he got me strong and really taught me the principles around boxing in a way that no one else had before. And he would say things to me, Kelly, you know, imagine you have a tool belt strapped around your waist and we've stocked it with all these tools that you're going to be able to use and you're going to have options. And if it's empty, you won't have anything to reach for. And so when I got my cancer diagnosis, I was like, where is my tool belt? You know, where's my breath? Where are some of the basics that Sena had taught me? And I really didn't want this to be a wasted year of my life. I didn't want to die. I didn't want it to be a wasted year. I had fought so hard to be strong physically. And so at that point in time, I really decided to really study everything I had learned around my boxing. And I was going to take these principles and have minimal downtime from chemo. I was going to have quick recoveries from my surgeries. And so this is kind of how it all came about.
Wow. It's just incredible how you seem to have the spirit in you. This little spark that I don't think anything can really put out, that spark. Where does that come from? Is it your background? Is it your faith? There's something in you, Kelly. And I mean, you and I have just met, but I can feel it. Yeah. I can sense it. Where does that come from?
You know, I was raised by women who worked hard and had that spark. And I think it just transferred over to me. One of the women that helped raise me, you were raised by your grandmother, I heard, right?
Yes.
Partially. So my great grandmother, who was born in the 1800s, helped raise me. She had a beauty shop you know, when she was in her 20s. And they all had, all these women had professional careers and they worked really hard. They wanted to do things right in the world. I think they had a lot of integrity. And so I don't know. I feel like it's probably just from a lot of the women and some of the DNA.
It's in your genes. It's in your genes. And now you get to pass that on to thousands of women around the world with this, just this phenomenal story. So if you were to go back to the younger you on that day when you got your diagnosis and have a conversation with that young woman, what three nuggets of wisdom would you give her based on what's happened, where you are now in your life?
A couple things. So one of my coaches is Royce Fentress, and he is a Division I strength coach. And he gets a lot of youth to Division I colleges and universities in America. One of the things that he talks about is it's all good. And to really think the good and the bad, it's all good. And I think about some of the horrific, most worst situations that I went through with my breast cancer. And I can tell you incredible, beautiful things that came out of it. So really, it's all good. Another principle is, and Royce communicated this to me, and it's around pity. And pity is energy, and it takes people in a really dark place. And so really, for me, one of the reasons I didn't communicate my breast cancer diagnosis is because I didn't want those pity eyes looking at me as I was going through it, because I really wanted to stay strong. And so to really think about pity as a person who's dealing with something very hard in your life and in how you communicate to other people, because it's really a transfer of energy. And to really think about, you know, and this is a great principle for life too, but who do you spend, who do you give your time to in your life? And who are you going to give your time to when you're in this major fight? And to really formulate and put together a corner of people who you think are going to be in your best interest. You know, you don't always want to tell everybody what street your parade is on, you know? And so really to be thoughtful about who you communicate it to, just knowing that this is going to be probably the biggest fight of your life, and to really think hard about who is in your corner.
Wow. Well, you certainly managed to do something that has never been done. I just absolutely love the fact that you're now putting that in a book so more people can read about this story, find inspiration from your story. What is the title of the book, and where can people get it?
Sure. So the title of my book, Gertrude, is The Fight for My Life, Boxing Through Chemo. People can purchase the book there's going to be a pre-sale in June, and it's will be published in August, and it's available on The Fight for My Life, www.thefightformylife.com.
Absolutely wonderful. You are inspiring, Kelly. I can't wait to finally meet you in person when you come to New Zealand for the filming of the Her Story pilot.
Yes, absolutely.
I can just so see you coming. And thank you to everybody who's tuned in today. So if you are a woman today who has been listening to this interview, you've been given a certain diagnosis, it could be cancer, it could be your heart, whatever that diagnosis is, it's just a story. And you get to decide, you get to create where you go with your life from this minute forward. Listen to Kelly's story, absolutely inspiring. She is a fighter. Please buy a copy of her book. And it could be that you've just been knocked back by life. It doesn't have to be a health challenge. Sometimes we read these stories to pick ourselves up, to see what another woman has done with her life, with her challenges. Thank you, Kelly, for putting this in a book and sharing it with the world.
Thank you, Gertrude.
I'll be back again tomorrow with yet another amazing story, everybody. Have a fantastic day wherever you are in the world. Bye for now.
The Her Story Circle is a social impact project focused primarily on women and children around the globe. We raise money by curating all of these amazing stories into a series of books, an anthology series where we publish 10 stories in every volume. So you can support us by buying the books. You can support us by donating towards this podcast. You can support us by sponsoring some of the social impact projects that we have highlighted on our website. The link to all our projects is the herstorycircle.com/projects. Our projects range from business initiatives where we set up women's cooperatives and help women get out of poverty. We help people who are helping in their communities. It could be that woman who started a soup kitchen and is helping feed the homeless because of the COVID pandemic. We support women who are focused around the elderly, the homeless, and the disabled. So feel free to go onto the herstorycircle.com website, go into our project section, and see what could inspire you to be part of our circle. Thank you so much. Looking forward to connecting with you. A special thanks goes to our main sponsor, SkinnyTees.com, based in Detroit, Michigan. Linda Schlesinger Wagner is an amazing woman who shared a story of how she created this amazing business at the age of 63. When she heard the vision behind the Her Story Circle, she became our main sponsor, and I would love you to go onto her website, check out her amazing t-shirts that suit every woman, every age, every size. The website is skinnytees.com. Please support this amazing sponsor who is helping us bring these fascinating stories to you every single day. Thank you, Linda.
My name is Karen Taub, and I'm going to be 60. I'm outside of New York City, and I'm sitting with my favorite daughter.
Good morning, everybody, and welcome back to the Her Story TV. This is Gertrude Matcher here in beautiful Wellington, New Zealand. As you know, we are about to launch our second edition of the Her Story magazine. And I am graced with two amazing women this morning coming to us all the way from New York. Welcome, welcome, welcome. Tell us your full names, how old you are, and share your story with us today.
It's so nice to be here. Thank you so much. My name is Karen Taub, and I'm going to be 60 in 2 days. Whoa.
Happy birthday.
Happy almost birthday. Thank you. But I think it is every day is my birthday. I'm outside of New York City, and I'm sitting with my favorite daughter.
I'm Lexi. I live in New York City, and we are excited to be here. Thank you for having us.
It's a good thing you don't have another daughter, Karen. You'd be jealous at this point.
No, I know.
So where does your story begin?
Well, my story begins that my father was a manufacturer in the jewelry business, and I loved being with my father. It was just the greatest experience. And I spent most of my high school summers, my college summers, traveling around the country, calling on retailers, attending trade shows. And my vision was that I would go into his business one day, which I was fortunate enough to do. And
I don't know, probably like 7 or 8 years into it, my dad was turning 70 and told me he really wanted to retire. And we had an offer to be bought by another company, which we sold it to. And I was fortunate enough to stay on with them and develop lots of different other businesses and became partners with them in these other businesses. And I'd say it was about 10 years ago. No, it was less than 10, like 6 years ago. I had just an epiphany. I was on a vacation. I was walking on a beach and my phone kept ringing from my office, asking me questions. Where's this? Where's an ear nut? It's really silly questions. And I just thought I have to figure some way out of doing this this way so that I'm only responsible and answering to myself. And we were fortunate over the years to have built this business with a partnership with a factory in Thailand, manufacturing exclusively for designers. So someone would design a piece of jewelry, they would give it to us the designs, we would manufacture it in Thailand and then deliver it to them in the States. So I was fortunate enough to purchase that business from my partners. And I've been doing that on my own for quite a few years. And I have to say, probably like maybe 2 years ago, Lexi's boyfriend had asked if he could have a pair of earrings made. And he sent me like a picture of something he had seen that was retailing for $1,600. And I said, sure. I thought, and he, you know, I knew that it wasn't $1,600, but he had no idea. And when Lexi was given the gift, she said she felt so badly because he bought her the earrings that were so expensive, along with a lot of other things. And I had to be honest and said, those earrings really weren't very expensive at all. They cost a fraction of what that, you know, the retail was. And Lexi mm-hmm. said, that there's an opportunity here and we need to do something. Yes. So we started paddling around in it. And of recent, I'd say like last 6 months, Lexi decided she wanted to take this very seriously. And she was working in a finance position and really delved into the other side of it, the social media, the web, everything, all the things I know nothing about. Really developed a really, we've gotten tremendous traction. So officially,
that is awesome.
And it's really crazy, but today is her first official day of no longer being employed. And she's self-employed with me now.
Oh, how wonderful. So you followed in your grandfather's footsteps, your mother's footsteps. So the legacy continues.
I joined the family business and quit my job last week.
Oh, wow. Kudos to you for doing that.
Very excited.
What is the vision for this new venture that you two are on?
So the vision for the venture is to be... Jewelry pieces are so marked up right now because it goes from a manufacturer to a designer to a store and then to the consumer. And we're manufacturing for the designers. So we thought, why are our customers going through all of these middlemen? Let's just cut them out. So now consumers can get designer pieces at wholesale prices. And a big part of our mission is to give back to the Breast Cancer Research Foundation. So a percent of all of our profits go to the Breast Cancer Research Foundation.
Wow. So why in particular breast cancer? Any reason behind that?
Yes, unfortunately, yes. We moved a very dear friend of mine who coincidentally was pregnant and delivered her daughter 2 days before Lexi was diagnosed 3 months after she delivered Sloan to have metastatic breast cancer, and she died 20 months later. It had a huge impact, of course, on, I mean, their family was just terrible. And it also really had a huge impact on our family. Our lives, you know, I think would have been very, very different. We were very fortunate to consider them our family. It's actually Al's 75th birthday today. I don't know you know that. And so we, as a parent, I wanted to make sure, I wanted to make a difference, and I wanted my children to know that we were going to try and make a difference so this wasn't going to happen again. And unfortunately, my sister-in-law was diagnosed, and because of the resources and the research, she managed to stay alive a lot, much, much longer than my girlfriend did. So we're committed to helping anyone we can. Besides raising money, we're very involved on a one-on-one basis. I mean, we get calls, you know, frequently from people that have bought the pink string bracelet on our website. And, you know, we just say, like, give us a call. Like, maybe we can give you some help, some advice. And we've spoken to many women and family members that are scared. And, you know, we can offer some insight and help them kind of defray that terror that's there.
Yeah, that's the thing, right? The C word just evokes so much fear and terror in people when you get that diagnosis. And the best thing is not to go into fear. I was talking to somebody yesterday who said she went online and started doing all this research, and it just heightened the anxiety behind what she had been told.
Well, oddly enough, I was diagnosed with breast cancer, I don't know, probably like 10 years ago. And so I know what the steps are personally that I live through with other people now. So I feel like I think I'm a very rational person. So if this woman who called you wants to speak with anyone, please give her my telephone number.
I'll definitely do that. So let's take this as an opportunity to talk to somebody else who might be watching us right now online. They've just come back from the doctors. Give us some steps, some advice. What would you say to somebody like that?
You have don't be scared. It's going to be okay. It definitely is going to be okay. And, you know, you just have to align yourself with the right doctors, and you have to have a positive attitude. And I think keeping your life as normal as possible is of the utmost importance, so that while you've lost control over your medical condition, you want to keep control of the rest of your life.
So it's a choice you need to make, right? They say that anxiety and stress is normally based on us living in a future that may or may not happen.
Yep, exactly.
And then you stop living in the day and be present in the moments that you do have. Yep. The human mind can take you to very, very dark places.
Yep.
So as entrepreneurs, why is it important for us to remember to give back?
Well, I mean, it's not just as entrepreneurs, it's as human beings that you should be giving back. But in terms of entrepreneurship, I think the greatest thing is for women to be helping other women. Nothing against men, of course, but I do think, you know, helping someone else who's trying to get off the ground and change their life, it's the most wonderful thing for someone to change their life and for you to be able to help and have input into it.
Yeah, they say that when you give to someone else, you're actually giving to yourself. I find it's my biggest joy. My grandmother used to say that this universe is like a giant bank, and you have to keep depositing good deeds, and they do come back tenfold from the most unexpected places. It might not be the person who helped you, but somebody else. It's got a ripple effect, I think.
That's right. That's
our
right.
Favorite piece to sell, the one we're happiest with, is our pink string bracelet, even though we don't get any of the profits. We know we're making the biggest difference with it.
Love that. So now working as mother and daughter, an interesting dynamic.
Well,
I do it.
I think we have very different personalities. And I think the most important thing is I think we respect each other tremendously. I mean, I think what Lexi knows how to do, I would never in a million years have the capabilities of doing it. And so I'm so impressed that she is capable of doing all that she does. And she loves learning. So it's so much fun. I think it's important to have hobbies or something to share with your children. We have another child, our son, but he's not the favorite child, obviously. And you know, my husband has all these years shared sports with him. And I think Lexi and I have always been so connected and enjoyed being each other's company, but this is just the greatest. I mean, we talk nonstop and have just banter back and forth all the time. So it's great.
And we're lucky to have very complementary skill sets. She's the salesperson, if you couldn't tell from the operations.
Yes. So you kind of bounce off each other, but you have your strengths. And you complement each other's weaknesses from what I can hear.
Yes, we do.
So for any business, I think that's what you need, right?
Yes.
You need to bring on board in your team the people who complement your weak spots.
Yes.
That is just wonderful. So now let me take you guys into the future. Let's say 100 years from now, somebody is writing an article about this amazing organization that you've created together. And you're sitting in your rocking chair, Karen. and Alexis, you're probably sitting there holding mom's hand. What would you say to the future yous in terms of what you're trying to create with this organization right now?
Well, I hope by the time we're sitting there, there's a cure for cancer.
Yes. I knew that was going to be her answer.
Yeah.
So Lexi and I'll be rocking. She'll be, you know, and we'll be so happy that we made a difference. So that's really what, you know, this is all a vehicle to do something and have fun together while we're doing it.
I love it.
It's really important, I think, to wake up every day and look forward to what you have to do. And, you know, while Lexi had the most wonderful opportunities at what she did and the companies she's worked at are just really special. I think I wake up every day, even though I know I'm facing problems, and now Lexi gives me my list of to do every day. But you know, we solve them and it's fun. Like, you figure it out. And I think it's really important to enjoy what you're doing, because you never know what's around the corner.
Life is very brief and very, very fleeting. Well, this has been an absolute honor meeting you two. I'm excited to see what's coming in the coming years as you build this amazing organization. Please keep in touch with us. We would love you guys to speak at our next online summit as well. So we'll talk about that in a few minutes. But I just want to thank everybody who tuned in today. The Her Story movement started in 2019, and we have been looking for women like this to attract in the movement who are already doing something to give back. I believe that when we start collaborating, working together, our strength as women lies in our numbers when we get together and we work as a force. So thank you to both of you for joining our tribe. And thank you to everybody who's tuned in. I'll be back again tomorrow with yet another amazing interview from a different part of the world. Have an amazing day wherever you are out there. Bye for now.
If you like this podcast and would like to understand a little bit more about what was discussed, then you are in luck. Simply head over to theherstorycircle.com, where we have a fantastic bonus gift waiting for you to download. All we ask is that you leave a raving review. And lastly, help us share this podcast with your friends, your family, and your colleagues through Facebook, LinkedIn, Twitter, Instagram, and all your social media platforms. We really appreciate your support and look forward to seeing you again in our next episode. Thank you for listening to this podcast episode of the Her Story Circle. Once again, to get access to all the replays and future episodes, visit theherstorycircle.com and subscribe today.